Holy shit, what the fuck is this jacket? Does he do like a stand up and twirl around at the start of his streams? What is this? Somebody link me this. Oh my god. What the fuck, bro? He's like dangerously dripped the fuck out. Holy shit. Find me the stream. Does he do a twirl on this? What the fuck?
So is something. Why are you wearing gloves? Why do people wear gloves?
What? I love this
It is an article of clothing. Why do you wear clothes? Obviously, because there's no social stigma against exposing one's bare hands, it's obvious that my hands are cold.
I will also say, fuck this piece of shit for still not retracting all the lies he spread about me. But, okay, just as a reminder, so you can know I hate him in my heart, okay? One thing Vosh does really well is I feel like when people's facial hair gets long, it gets very unkempt. He's very good at having like a very full beard and mustache, because I hate mustaches. I'll fucking trim the fuck out of my lip. I don't like anything going over my lip because it drives me crazy. But he's good at keeping it long, but still like very kept.
Because it gives me the opportunity to engage a little bit more with the stuff he's talking about, but like a better version of it, I guess. At least I think it's a better version. I am nowhere near the like best source of information on anything regarding historical materialism, but damn, it is so informative, dude.
Why was I like this?
Historical materialism is so, so, so useful. It's so useful. It's such an important way of, like you should at least familiarize yourself with it so that you have it in your toolbox when trying to engage with the world. Oh. Because I'll admit a little bit of a taboo, if I may. I saw a recent debate. It was brought to my attention by chat between Destiny and Hutch. And it felt it's like a lib thing. They're libbing at each other. They're throwing libs at each, you know, they're libapulting, lib bombs at one another. I felt like, at least on Destiny's side, there's like a fundamental puzzle piece missing, and I don't know if it's possible for him or for anyone, I guess, of that political predisposition to look past it, you know? The idea that beyond the partisan distinctions of this country, beyond the behavior of the media or of any individual politician, there's an underlying current towards the interests of capital that everything flows back towards. And every push and pull that we see is like people playing at the surface of the water, right? Like you enter the river and you're playing with your friend, you're splashing each other, whatever. You move this way, you move that way, but the current is always pulling. Always, always, always pulling. And I think that like a lot of what we're seeing right now, a lot of these insane developments, no rule of law, president can do whatever they want, open corruption, a lot of this stuff, it's not just incidental, and it's not like an accidental byproduct of Trump's idiosyncrasies. It's not just like, oh well, he's a crazy guy, so you know, whatever, it's happening. It is the either the consequence of or the deliberate like byproduct of this longer shift towards capital interests, you know? And it's not a coincidence that it's happening here at the center of global.
So here is the only issue. This is why I don't understand, but I don't know, I've never seen these guys actually have to critically engage with this, because nobody has any conversations anymore. If we were purely looking at like the capital class, I feel like the neocons would still be in power, because Donald Trump has not been good for, broadly speaking, the capital class, right? Like the capital class would want free trade, would want as much immigration, legal or otherwise, as possible. They kind of like tax cuts, not as much as the Republicans seem to say they do. But I think the free trade and global stability that brings, but I think those things are more important than, well, I don't know what the fuck this, I don't even know what this current administration is doing. I just can't even speak intelligently about it. I don't know what the fuck anything is. I don't know anything about politics anymore. The US was like baby raging because they're like, we asked the whole world to help us and nobody's coming to our aid. Like, no shit, Sherlock. I'm just waiting for, what was my prediction last night in chat, for the European countries to start cucking out and be like, oh no, we'll come help you. Oh no, just kidding, Trump will come help. You could argue maybe there's like one hyper-specific capital class that Trump favors, and it's like the crypto people, maybe. I guess they do represent a big chunk of it now, but Jesus.
Capital, right? This is all the oligarchs, they fell in line, you know? The three guys that own all major media, they all fell in line. And I think like that, and then you look at it like, well, why isn't it? It's like, okay, underlying all these superficial arguments that we have, there are underlying battles that are being fought, and we are losing badly, and we're losing to some very stupid people because they're very, very powerful, you know? Like Elon Musk, very, 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 very stupid, but he still bought Twitter for a tiny fraction of his wealth leveraged out, you know, and the world is worse for it, you know? The Ellisons, I don't think the Ellisons are particularly smart. I just think they're wealthy. I really don't think there's much of a correlation between wealth and intelligence. Man, 101.5, sheesh, you know? And they're going to own the fucking world, you know? Disney, I think, is owned by some smarter people because they're more traditionally into the management of business. But even then, like, how smart do you want your rulers to be, really? They're still on the other side.
Like, why would Trump be able to bend these companies to his whim instead of the companies bending Trump to his whim, right? Like, I feel the reason why I don't like these capital analyses is because they end up feeling very reductive, and that you could basically make any argument and say, well, because capital, first of all, wealthy people are going to have more capital anyway. And then wealthy people are going to be better off in so many other ways in terms of education, in terms of political influence, everything else. Like, of course, they're going to have more influence everywhere else. But is it because of their capital or other things? I don't know. It's not very explanatory to me. Like, if we go back to before the second Iran war that we launched this term, and we were to say, well, what's Trump going to do? I don't think the capital class wants another war with Iran. I just don't know what useful predictions we're making from capital ownership there. I really, honest to God, I just think that Trump is fucking retarded. I just don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry. I think Trump is just, I think he's a fucking retard. I really, truly, truly think Trump is fucking retarded. The oil class would? How much, what is like our total revenues for our oil industry? Look this up for me. The U.S. oil and natural gas industry is a massive contributor, with the sector contributing approximately 2.1 trillion to U.S. economy 23. God damn. That's a big old number. Holy shit. That's a lot of money. God damn. Never mind. I changed my answer completely. The oil capital class sent us to war with Iran. Whew. The last Republican to win the popular vote was Reagan. He also had dementia, right? I'm sorry. I just got so incredibly upset because I just remembered something. Reagan only had dementia in his second term, I believe. It's like there's a million things that should just be instantly impeachable. I'm so tired keeping up with all this. I just want to play video games. This is a crazy statement for Donald. Now that I knew it was big. I didn't realize that's a huge, that's a lot of money. Holy fuck. Oil executives were set to meet with President Donald Trump at the White House on Friday to discuss investments in Venezuela. A White House official confirmed to ABC News. This article is from 3 months ago, January 7th, shortly after the Venezuelan stuff, I think. Trump previously said he spoke to U.S. oil companies prior to the raid on Venezuela, even as he said he opted to forego disclosure to members of Congress ahead of time due to concerns about possible leaks. Excuse me? What is that? What? Why did that happen? Why were we okay with that? The U.S. produces enough oil to support itself, if I recall. Kind of, but not really. Remember, these are global markets. So if the supply of oil is down in other parts of the world, the cost of gas will rise in the United States, or oil will rise in the United States because it's more expensive to sell it in other places. Does that make sense? Do I need to explain this? No? No, I don't need to explain it, or no, it doesn't make sense. This is... Wait, fuck, Florida. This is California. Okay. North America. This is a totally realistic thing. Let's say that oil sells for $90 a barrel in the United States of America. Okay. This is Europe, Africa. If it sells for $90 here, okay. Have you ever heard of a wonderful thing called arbitrage? Wait, let me explain arbitrage first. Sorry, fuck, hold on. Arbitrage is important to understand for other areas of your life too, okay? Let's say that there is a market over here, and let's say that on this market, let's say that you can buy a thing for $100. Let's say that's the bid price, so what people are offering. And let's say that the asking price is $105. So this is your spread, it's $5, okay? Let's say that you have another market over here, of $80 to $85. Let's say this is the asking price, this is the bid, okay? In a decently liquid environment where things can be transferred from a market to another, assuming there aren't like weird barriers in place or whatever, right? These two markets will never, ever, ever exist at the same time. Why? Who can explain why? Raise your hand. Why can't these two markets exist in parallel with one another? Mr. Mouton? I'm calling on you, Lucas. Why can't these markets exist together? Hello, Mouton. I'm calling on you, Lucas. Why can't these markets exist at the same time?
It's quite simple. I wasn't listening. Just wanted to be in voice chat. I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I'm ready to listen now.
Okay. If I knew that people were bidding $100 over here for oil, they were willing to pay $100, and this market is selling $105, and I know that people here are willing to sell for $85. Well, I'm going to buy all the $85 asks, and then I'm going to sell it to all the $100 bids until this price is driven down and this price is driven up. And then eventually these markets will reach an equilibrium, right? Does that make sense?
Correct.
So
yeah.
This is called arbitrage, right? This is why...
It's the reason I can't go to India and buy gold for $10 an ounce and then bring it to America, right?
Good job, Lucas. Great answer. Great example. Two gold stars for you. Okay. On global markets, arbitrage is the reason why things tend to equalize. If you want to make money in your own personal life by being a scum fuck, you can make friends bet you on things with a one-to-one ratio or whatever, because that's what most people bet at, is one-to-one, because nobody understands odds. And then you could take those bets to Polymarket and you could just arbitrage all the bets with your friends and make money. Does that make sense?
Shrimple. Yeah, because you get better odds on Polymarket.
Exactly. Yeah. Back to oil. So in the United States, if oil is being sold at $90, even though in the stock market we can see physical asks and bids. Now in the real world, in markets, we don't really see those physically, right? You either walk into the store and you decide to buy something, or you don't decide to buy it. You don't put forth, you're not bidding at the store. Companies might have some kind of ask bid process. I'm not sure. Let's just say it's $90 a barrel in the United States. Let's say that for some reason there's a huge supply shock. This is my accurate Middle East. And all of a sudden, all these other areas that might be trading, now the prices aren't going to be exactly the same because you might have like transportation costs or other things, other weird local taxes, whatever. But let's say there's a huge supply shock. Okay. Iran is saying no more oil through our strait. Fuck you. And let's say that that supply shock, remember the golden, the X graph for our supply and demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the supply decreases on a given thing, okay, when the supply goes down and the quantity demanded remains the same, it pushes the price up because people are willing to pay more per thing to get the thing because they need it. Less supply, more people chasing the same supply, right? So these prices are now going to go up to... fuck. Let's assume in Europe now it's like $120 and in Africa it's $150 a barrel, right? Well, let's assume, so somebody correctly points, well, the United States, we produce enough oil for ourselves. We don't ever have to worry about global markets. Well, let's say you're a producer in the United States and you're selling at $90 a barrel and you look across the Atlantic and you see, well, they're buying at 120 and 150 over here. What are you going to do? You're going to start to arbitrage. You're going to export over here until people in your own country also have to pay whatever those international prices are. These are global markets. So even when there's supply chain stuff impacting other countries over here, even if we make enough oil domestically to fund our own economy, because we have an open market and because we can sell to other people around the world, that means that the prices in the United States will also rise. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Cool. Good job. Wow.
Couldn't the United States, in theory, I think Biden actually did this. Didn't he release the strategic oil reserves when prices were high?
Yes.
Sell a bunch of oil, make money, and then just replenish it when they were low? The price was low?
I don't know who manages economically. Does the United States government get to keep the money there? Like for the strategic oil reserve?
I'm pretty sure that they did. I feel like I read a thing about that.
I don't know if we ever replenished our, I think it's the SRP, the Strategic Reserve of Petroleum. There's a whole bunch of metalloid sloppers or people. Actually, I don't think metalloid has said anything, but there's a whole bunch of retards in chat who are saying things like, storage costs aren't zero. There's transportation costs. Correct. These are not frictionless vacuum markets with teleporters where everything can be transported instantaneously from one place to the next. So there are transportation costs. There is not perfect equilibrium. There are going to be local taxes and other hurdles and stuff. That is true. Good job. You get the Pedantic Star Award. Congratulations.
Very smart, Metalloid.
Well, I don't actually know if Metalloid was, I think he was one of the people who actually didn't know well actually there, but all those other retards in chat. They're likely nearly negligible, right? Super depends on the type of good you're talking about. I don't know how long crude can be stored for or what that looks like. I don't know the answer to that. My guess is for crude, it's probably fairly negligible because so much of this is transported around. There's probably a great deal of investment and supply and infrastructure to like move this stuff around, but I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure. What's the difference between crude and Brent? Crude is when I slap your mom across the face, and Brent is when I slap her with a...
You slap her boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't know. What the fuck is Brent oil? Is that a
I've
thing?
I've never heard of Brent.
Crude versus Brent. Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate are the two primary benchmarks for global oil pricing. Brent is the international benchmark for Atlantic Basin crude extracted in the North Sea. WTI is the U.S. benchmark sourced primarily from Texas. Brent is a grade of oil based on where it's pulled from. Okay. Do you know if oil is, when you talk about a barrel of crude, is the type of crude oil assumed, or is crude oil after it's already been refined a bit? Because like I know oil pulled out of like Venezuela is not the same as oil pulled out of like the Gulf.
Canada. Well, actually Canada's and Venezuela's are apparently pretty similar.
Like what is the, is does crude have to be like a certain composition or?
Sulfur content, percentage.
Ma Destiny, good Reddit factoid. Wait, what was my Reddit factoid? Which one?
I think they're just being mean to you.
Crude is just raw oil. It still has different grades. Oh, okay. When you say a barrel of crude, what is a barrel of crude oil? One barrel of crude oil gives you nearly 70 kilowatt hours. Wait, how much is 1 kilowatt hour just running something at 1,000 watts for 1 hour? Is that what that means? Does this mean that if your computer were to consume on average 500 watts, that it would take a whole barrel in 140 hours, your computer would burn through a barrel of oil? That can't possibly be right. Is that true? Am I missing some zeros there or something? Holy shit.
Oil good?
No, that's... Isn't that bad?
Well, no, I'm saying like...
If somebody were to lug a 42-pound barrel of oil to my house, in my brain, I'd be like, oh my God, I bet I could run my computer for years off of this.
Yeah.
Everything there is produced by one barrel, not just 70 kilowatt hours. Oh, true. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. Never mind. I was going to say, that'd be crazy. That makes more sense. So all of this stuff can be produced off of Biden emptied about half of the strategic oil reserve and then was working to refill it. Trump stopped refilling and didn't think to refill before starting this war.
Classic. Then he blamed Biden.
Well, why didn't Biden fill the whole thing?
Yeah.
Let's see. From 2015. So this is how much crude we have. And then Biden began to dump the strategic reserves around 2022 and then was slowly rebuilding it up till... Well, no, it looks like Trump didn't stop, did he? In January of 2025, we had 395,000 and then up to 414. He just didn't like refill it with any urgency. How many barrels a day does U.S. consume oil? We consume 20 million barrels per day. So 413, we have 413 million barrels, because we can't just like fill it up immediately, right? Because it would shock the market. We'd be buying, the supply would drop like crazy.
Buying it all.
Yeah. Huh? One barrel can make all, or each of those can be made with a whole barrel? One barrel should be able to make all of these things, I believe. Different parts of oil are made.
Used for different shit.
Yeah. I feel like if you've played any fucking slop game, like Factorio or Minecraft or whatever, you take oil and you make different products from the same oil. Like you refine it into different products and then those things are refined into different products. Damn, oil really, you can do a lot of shit with that. God was so nice for putting that in the ground. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
What a king. I wonder why he didn't give any to Israel, though. Isn't that kind of weird? You kind of fucked him on that.
He's putting them through another trial. True. Yeah.
Could you imagine if Israel had oil? Holy shit.
Maybe they do.
He really seemed to be so ignorant that he truly believed Iran would roll over and never go as far as closing the strait. But I just don't know if he understands anything. Like, when Iran, like, I've told you this before, right? Hopefully you guys are a little smarter than the average retard online, right? That when Iran is saying things like, we're going to get vengeance on you, we're going to attack your U.S. base. When they say things like that, these are really good statements because they're making them publicly. They're giving us advanced warning to retreat our people. Like, I think even when Iran bombed the base in Qatar, didn't we get a forewarning of that a while ago?
They always give you fucking forewarnings because they don't want you to kill an actual citizen.
Yeah, but not this time, I don't think, right?
No,
now they're just going crazy. But before, we were doing like, we're attacking your nuclear power plants or your nuclear centrifuges because we don't want you to have nuclear weapons, but that's it, right? Or we're killing Soleimani and now you guys can...
Well, yeah,
you
know, they had time because we saw fucking satellite images of them moving the shit out of those like Fordun or whatever.
Maybe. Well, I don't know about those if we give them advance warning we were bombing those. Maybe. We might have. No, because we would actually want to destroy those things. But I'm saying that like for this current set of strikes or whatever we're doing right now, we didn't tell them about Soleimani. No, of course not. But I'm saying after we killed Soleimani, they told us that they were going to bomb one of our bases, right? Because we're still playing it back and forth, right? But if you're talking about a regime change war, this is now an existential fight against the Ayatollah. Well, now they're not going to play by the same. They're not going to give you a heads up because they know that like their lives are on the line. They're all going to die and their regime is going to be destroyed. So now you're not going to get the same heads up. So I don't know if Trump expected them to play by the same rules that they did in the past. I don't know if nobody around Trump told him. Like, you do understand that if you're doing a regime change war, these guys are going to go all out. They are going to shut down that strait. They are going to try to bomb allies like crazy. They're not going to give us any forewarning about attacks. You are going to need to be able to truly fend stuff off. It's not just going to be...
But they must have.
That's what I would assume, but I just don't know. Like, so many... The amount of talent exodus... The problem is we just take this stuff for granted. You just don't realize... Like, you don't know what your... Like, nobody really knows what their fucking pancreas does. Or their... I think you actually might be able to live without your pancreas. I feel like it's one of the organs you might be able to live without. But like your liver, like if you just take somebody's liver out of their body and they slowly start fucking dying, then it's like, oh shit, I think I actually really needed that organ. Like now I'm fucking dying. I think it's over for me. It's all over. And I think that's what's happening now is that there are so many of these bureaucratic pieces, so much talent, so much knowledge that was being sucked out of these departments and people didn't realize like, oh shit, maybe these people actually... are you know, like maybe these people really did do stuff that was important and now we just don't have them. And now it really is just the retards leading the retards.
I would just figure that the generals would be there.
Who is our current general? Trump hated the last
shit.
One. Remember, it was Milley, right? I'm not mixing these names up, right?
You got Raisin
I think it was
Cain,
Milley.
Yeah,
Milley was the one who, when Trump left his term in office, Trump said, I want to pull every single person out of Afghanistan. I want all of them pulled out. Fuck that place. And I'm pretty sure that was one of the commands that Milley was just like, yeah, we just didn't do that because fuck that. They just didn't do that. That's one of the reasons I think why Trump fucking hates Milley. He hates this guy. But I don't know for this Cain guy. I don't know what his foreign policy. I don't know if he. Yeah, I'm not sure. People would talk about your appendix. Oh, no, I think you can live without your pancreas. I feel like I heard this at one point. It was surprising to me. Maybe I'm thinking of your gallbladder, actually. I might be thinking of gallbladder. You can live without your gallbladder. wait, what does the pancreas even fucking do again? I don't even know. It's one of these things that, like, helps with digestion. You have so many things that help with digestion. Damn, why does this look like a dick, brah? You have dicks in your body. Can you live without your pancreas?
Dick.
Gallbladder, not gallbladder. Shut the fuck up. Doing so, yeah, creates a state of permanent severe diabetes and digestive issues requiring lifelong management. Damn. Is your pancreas the one that makes the insulin? I don't, fuck, my brain is falling apart today. I think I'm getting sick. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like I was getting sick this morning too.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, your beta cells in your pancreas. Fuck, I should have done that. I'm gonna get insulin ads now for the rest of the year. Fuck.